If you have your Bible with you, you can open up to Hebrews chapter 3. We see in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." Now, when he says here, he tells us not to harden our hearts. That means there's something that we can do that would harden our own hearts. Or something that we're doing that could possibly harden our hearts. He says, as you did in the rebellion. Now, when he says you, he's talking about humanity in general, the Jewish nation. During the time of testing in the desert when your fathers... See, he's not talking about them directly. He's talking about the ancestors of the people that he's speaking to. And he's saying that these people represented all mankind. When your fathers tested and tried me... I won't say tested. Tested. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it tells us not to test God. Where your fathers tested and tried me, I wouldn't say tried. The Amplified Version says, your fathers tried my patience and tested my forbearance. And found I stood their test and saw my works for 40 years. Saw what I did. And what happened is their bodies were scattered throughout the desert. They died. Judgments fell upon these people because it was the result of them testing and trying God. It says in verse 10, that is why I was angry. I wouldn't say angry. God gets angry. He has feelings and emotions. He's grieved. He can be grieved according to Ephesians 4, verse 30. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. He says this. He said, consider carefully how you hear. He said, the one who has will be given more and he will have an abundance, but those who do not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them, says the Lord. So pay attention. Pay more close attention to what you hear with the intention to obey. For it's not those who hear my word who are considered righteous in my sight. No, it is not those who only hear my word and rejoice in it who are righteous, but it is those who obey my word who are considered righteous, says the Lord. He said this, he said, it's not enough to hear. It is not enough to continually hear, but it is enough to act. For those who hear but do not act deceive their own selves and partake of a lie. They lie to themselves. They convince themselves that they are okay by blinding their own minds from hardening their hearts and not obeying what they hear, says the Lord. So be transformed by the renewing of your minds and act upon what you hear. For it is those who act upon what they hear that are blessed, says the Lord. He said this now. He said, so pay extremely close attention to detail. For these are my words, these are not your words. For I am the creator, and you are the creation. I am the Most High, there is none higher than me. I am the only God. There is no other God but me. I am the Holy God, and these are my holy words that should be feared. For it's those who fear me and do what is right who will be saved. But those who hear me and do not do what is right will not be saved. And then he just quoted a scripture, and we'll see how he wants to give it here. He said, to whom can I speak and give warning? Who will listen to me? He said, their ears are closed, they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them, they find no pleasure in it. He says, and here's another scripture, that's Jeremiah 6:10. He gives another one. He said, woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us, who will know? Jeremiah 29. He said, woe to the obstinate children, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin. He said, for these are a rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. They say to the seers, see no more visions, and to the prophets, give us no more visions of what is right, tell us pleasant things. For their hearts call out for justice, but their actions deny me, says the Lord. He says, by continually hearing my word and not acting upon it is what calluses and destroys the human heart. For the heart is deceptive above all things. Who can perceive it? It's only those whose hearts are towards me. It's only those whose hearts are pure that will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But it's those hearts who wander who will not see me. No, they will not see me on good terms, says the Lord. For the day of judgment will come, and those whose hearts are not steadfast towards me will not see me in good terms, says the Lord. We'll see if we can continue with this now. Let's read it again. He says in verse 7, so the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear His voice, and what He's talking about today is with this new covenant that He's making with Jesus. He's talking about today. He's provided a new day after they rebelled with the law, the Israelites, and He destroyed them. There were only two people that entered into the promised land out of 3 million. Moses himself was not permitted to enter into the promised land because he disobeyed God. Now, he says here, do not harden your hearts. He's telling us not to harden our hearts, which means there's something that must be at work that could harden our hearts. As you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert. And now the reason he says it that way is he's saying, don't do what Israel did. Don't do what the Jewish nation did under the law. Which means that we could do what the Jewish nation did under the law. He says this, where your fathers tested and tried me. So we know that the Jewish nation tested and tried God. They tested Him. We'll see how they did it. And for 40 years saw what I did. And we know according to 1 Corinthians 10, it says their body, they're scattered throughout the desert. In fact, he's going to say it again here. He says, that is why I was angry with that generation. Why was he angry? Because they tested and tried God. And I said, their hearts are always going what? Astray. The New American Standard Version says they always go astray in their hearts. Now, it says this in the Amplified Version in verse 9 and 10. It says, "Where your fathers tried my patience and tested my forbearance and found I stood their test, and they saw my works for 40 years." That's where the bodies were scattered throughout the desert, dead. In fact, in one day, 23,000 of them died because of sexual immorality. He says in verse 10, "And so I was provoked, displeased, and sorely grieved with that generation, and said, their hearts err and are led astray in their hearts, and they have not perceived or recognized my ways." My ways. What ways is he referring to? He says, and they have not recognized my ways and become progressively better and more experimentally and intimately acquainted with them. I'm going to read that part again. He says this, they have not perceived or recognized my ways, God's ways, what he his expectations of us. And then it says this, and become progressively better and more experimentally and intimately acquainted with them. Intimately acquainted. That means that God's word, his ways are described to us in his word, his commandments. The Bible says, for this the love of God, to keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. If we say that we love God and do not keep his commandments, we lie and do not live by the truth, the Bible says. 1 John 5:3, he says this, a man who says, I know him, I know Jesus, I'm a Christian. Man who says, I know him, but doesn't do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2:4. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. 1 John 3:6 says this, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. That means what it says. There's no reading between the lines. God means exactly what he says. And then in verse 7 of the same chapter, he said this. He says, do not be deceived. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. Because the devil's been sinning from the beginning. For this reason, the Son of God was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Let's talk about that sinful nature. And then in verse 9, he describes it further. He says, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning. That's habitually sinning because he has been born of God. You can't do that. Here he says you need to get progressively, experimentally better. That means that you're pressing in with your whole heart. You're not hardening your heart by hearing the word but not acting and obeying on it. What part? All of it. Going to church on a regular basis is a commandment of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. This generation seems to, their heart beats more with the devil and they listen to what he's telling them. Tell them it's okay not to go to church on a regular basis when God commands it. Amen. Commands it. He says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as some get in the habit of doing. In the same book, Hebrews 10, 25. He says to obey your pastoral leaders and submit yourselves. For they watch over your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. What's a grief when you're not in the, you know, come on a regular basis as a grief? Because then he's got to spend all his time in prayer trying to intercede to get the lost sheep back to the fold so they don't go to hell. Now, he says, that is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray. They have not known my ways. In other words, God's ways are holy ways. Would you agree with me? God's a holy God. His word is holy. Everything about God is holy. God is light. In Him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. 1 John 1, 5 and 6. He said, but if we walk in the light, that means in the light of His Word. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus forgives us, purifies us from all sin. He says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And then He says, my dear children, I write this to you that you do not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate or a lawyer with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's 1 John 2, 1 and 2. Now He says this, their hearts are always going astray. They have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger. He says anger twice in here. They shall never enter my rest. Now that rest represents the Sabbath rest, the eternal Sabbath rest that we enter into. The moment we bow our knee to Jesus, it's not by works lest any man should boast, but that does not give you any reason that you can sin anymore. He says, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Romans 6, 1. He said, you can't live in it any longer. A lot of Christians are deceived because even when they're out in the crowd, I can remember when I was backslidden many, many years ago, I used to sit in the crowd and the pastor would say that and it would go in one ear and out there. I think I'm okay. When in reality, looking back now that I'm obedient to God, I know that I was not okay. It was not okay to live that way. And disobedience to God, hearing His word but not doing what He says. It's not okay. Not even, you're not safe. It is very extremely dangerous place to live like that. Now most people won't tell you that today, but I'm here to tell you the truth today. And the truth is, you, if you even are saved, you're most likely not. You're backslidden. Jesus said, spit you out of your mouth, or vomit you out. Backsliders. You should go online and listen to my teaching on backsliders. I think I gave probably 100 scriptures on what God says He's going to do to backsliders. It's a lot worse for backsliders. That's people that don't go to church on a regular basis are backslidden. You just ask them. When's the last time you've been to church? You've been to church months and months ago now. If you just first come today, this is your first time here or whatever. He says this, they're way worse off. He said they're worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them to not have known the righteousness, not to know the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed unto them. Of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. It goes right back to the filth of the world. Backslidden. Back to, he says. And here he says, they'll never enter my rest. That's his eternal salvation. So people that harden their own hearts by hearing the word but disobeying the word will never enter into eternal rest. It's not going to happen for them. Peter said, if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will happen to the ungodly and the sinner? Hard for the righteous. He never said it was easy. Jesus said it. He said, in this world you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Now he says here, in verse 12, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart. Now, he calls an unbelieving heart a sinful heart. And what you're not believing is what the preacher's preaching to tell you. You can't live like this. You got to keep coming to church. We got to be assembled together. We got to live right. When we're outside, the person that comes to church, that's not the person that God sees. God sees the one who's at home. Christians don't drink alcohol anymore. He says, I'll neither eat meat nor drink wine, nor do anything else that will cause my brother to fall. It's not okay. And a lot of people, they put it on their Facebook. They proclaim it to the whole world that this is what I'm doing. When the Bible says this, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his flesh, and the boasting of what he has and does. Look at me, I'm drinking wine. I'm out here doing this, boasting of what we have to do. He says, it comes not from the Father, but from the world. He said, the world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God will live forever. 1 John 2:15. So people that live like that, he says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? James chapter 4. He says to be a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. Now you're thinking, I love Jesus. No, you love him like Jesus said this. He said these words. He said, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. You're acting. Acting, even just by going to church, when you go out in the world and you just do these things and act like what the preacher said, it was just a bunch of garbage. You're not doing it to the preacher, you're doing it to Jesus Christ himself. He said, if they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also, he said. He said, if they hate you, they hate me also. He said, they'll do this because they don't know the Father, he said. They don't know him. He says, the man who says, I know him, but doesn't do what he commands is a liar. So we can discern if a person's a hypocrite or if they're a true Christian when we observe their actions outside of church and their consistency in their walk with God. Consistency in their walk with God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalms 111:10. The fear of the Lord, it's what will keep us from doing evil. See, he says here, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart. Believing what? God's word. They don't believe God's word. He calls it a sinful heart. They hear the word. They know what they should be doing, but they don't take it seriously. I wouldn't say seriously. We have to take God's word extremely seriously. Because he means what he says when he warns us with these things. See to you, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So now we see that it was sin is what would harden their hearts, according to those prior verses. And we see that deceitfulness is the word that he uses here, but the Bible says this, to be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So it's all connected together. If we hear the word, but we don't do what it says, the reason we don't do what it says is because we don't take it seriously. And James talked about that also. He said, to be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He said, anyone who hears the word but doesn't do what it says, like a man that looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. In other words, you heard God's word, it convicted you, you recognized you had dirt on your face, you need to get it off, but you heard it and you walked away. You didn't get the dirt, you didn't make the adjustment according to the word. He says, but the man who looks intently, 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 that means you take it seriously. Looks intently into the perfect law, he calls it law. He doesn't see, it's an option here. He says, looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues therein what? Continue in the word. In other words, you heard it. You say, man, I got to make an adjustment here. You jot it down and go home and you meditate that whatever the pastor was talking about or whatever the word revealed to you, you read it over and over and over again until you get it in you to say, I've got to change this. And you cry out to God and say, God, help me. I don't want to disobey you. And I surely don't want to go to hell. But most Christians don't take God's word serious enough. They don't take their sin serious enough. He says about some preachers, he said, they dress the wound of my people as though it's not serious. But God sees that wound as something serious. That's what God says about it. It's a serious offense against the holy God who created the heavens and the earth, who will judge the living and the dead, to disobey his word. We need to take him seriously. And there are some people, it doesn't matter if you preach this 1,000 times, they will leave church, they will listen online, and they will go back out there and they're going to keep on smoking and drinking and running around with unbelievers. They're going to keep on doing it until they wake up in hell because they've hardened their hearts and they cannot perceive truth when it is spoken from God's lips. We don't want that for you. So that's why we're going to warn you today. Again. He says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart. That means you don't believe God's word. He's telling you, you got to go to church. He's telling you to give your tithes and offerings. He tells you we should be nice to people and love each other and live a life of love. And we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. That means every thought is for Jesus and all of our strength. The first commandment. Most people don't even keep that part of the commandments, let alone the rest of the 1,050 commandments in the New Testament that he wants us to obey. Why? Because their heart's not in it. They're acting. They like the idea of the whole thing. It all sounds good to them. It touches their heart, but they never enter in. Why don't they enter in? Because they don't take it seriously. Very seriously, this needs to be taken. He says this, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. That means every single day. So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. This means that sin is deceptive. Most people think they're getting away with it, but he says that sin will deceive you into thinking you're getting away with it. You're not getting away with anything. As we'll see when we go to chapter 4. He says, we, and then he describes what a real Christian looks like in verse 14. We have come to share in Christ if, everyone say if, we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. That means when you first gave your whole life to Jesus and you went home and you got rid of all the secular garbage and all the porno magazines and dumped the alcohol down the drain and flushed the marijuana seeds down the toilet. Got rid of all the secular gossip magazines, all the movies with slander and curse words, and Jesus' name is a curse word, and God's name is a curse word. You got rid of all of it and said, here I am, Jesus, I'm born again, I'm separate from the world. How would you have to do with me? He says, if you continue that way. Now, most people, they never even enter in to do that. Why? They don't take the religion seriously. They think that they can add Jesus to their sin. But we can't add Jesus to our sin. He said if we claim to walk in the light, but fellowship with darkness, he said there's no fellowship whatsoever there in 1 John 1. We quoted earlier. Now he says here, we have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end. That means we start out real good and we continue out real good the whole race. You're pressing in with your whole heart. Your whole heart. We've come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at first. As it has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, that's his word. God's voice is his word. Do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Now he gives you an Old Testament example now to show you that's exactly what he's talking about in verse 16. Who are they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? Now, Egypt was a type of sin and Moses was a type of Christ. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Was it not those who were saved, you could say? They were saved from bondage, from spiritual bondage. Verse 17, and with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned? So sin makes God angry. Is anybody I don't want angry at me, it's God, because our God is a consuming fire, the Bible says. He said it's a dreadful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Hebrews chapter 10. He says here in verse 18, to whom did God swear they would never enter his rest or never enter into that salvation, if not to those who disobeyed? That word also translates didn't believe. In other words, they didn't take God's word seriously when he gave them the Ten Commandments and said, here Israel, you have to obey these Ten Commands. They didn't take it seriously, and in their hearts, they went back to Egypt. They would have rather went back into spiritual or physical bondage than obey God's word. And that's what most claiming Christians do today. Instead of taking God's word seriously, they harden their hearts, they go back into spiritual bondage, and because they believe that they're still saved, they're deceived by the deceitfulness of sin, and even though they believe they're saved, they end up in hell at the end of the life. Why? Because they didn't obey God's word and they didn't take him seriously. They expected God to just pardon their sin somehow when they deliberately did it. Let's talk about what we're talking about here a little bit. There's a difference between making an occasional mistake than deliberately sinning. Well, what would be deliberate sinning? Deliberate sin would be me telling you that Christians are not supposed to get drunk. It says that in Ephesians chapter 5, 18. He says not to get drunk on wine. Why just get a little buzz? It's drunk. You're drinking from the wrong purpose. I have two or three drinks. Would you drink that much if you're drinking water? No. Well, then you're drinking for the wrong purposes. I wouldn't drink that much if I was drinking. I wouldn't sit there and pound down water. But man, when I got my wine or my beer, I'd just drink it on down. Then you're drinking for the wrong purpose. You shouldn't be touching it at all then. There's something wrong with your heart. It's not okay. So I tell you that, and God's Word says that, but you go on and you keep on doing it anyway. It's called deliberately sinning against God. There would be a difference between that. Now don't take this away from me now. There would be a difference between that and a Christian who stopped swearing and then they hit their finger with a hammer and all of a sudden a curse word came out and they thought, oh, my goodness, that was, I'm so sorry, Jesus. And they felt sorry for their sin and they cried out to God and they said, God, I don't ever want to do that again. That bothered my heart. That means that person's heart is in it. But if the person just keeps on going out and drinking and hanging around to unbelievers when the Bible commands us not to do that, and say, they're my friends. They're not your friends. If they're not born again and they don't go to church themselves, that's not a friend. Jesus didn't even acknowledge his own family when they were in disobedient to God for the season there. He said, who is my mother and my brothers? And he looked around at those sitting around him, listening to the word of God and watching the miracles. He said, those who hear God's word and put it into practice, that's my mother and my brothers. You see, that's who are. We're supposed to be just like Jesus. What would Jesus do? The bumper sticker says, Jesus would not hang around with unbelievers unless he was there to witness to them. No. Pastor Dan, do you hang around unbelievers? No. Sure, I walk up to them and I preach to them all the time. But I do not hang around with them. I do not sit in the seat of the scornful or stand in the way of mockers. He said, blessed is a man who meditates God's word day and night. In other words, you take your counsel from God, you spend your time with God, and then you go pour it out upon the sinner as you preach to them. If you're not hanging around with them to tell them about Jesus, you have no business hanging around with them at all. Amen. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus hung around with them. What did he say? He said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. He said they were sick. He said, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I mean, he was with them to cause them to repent, not to befriend them. There's a difference. Well, I just can't let go of my friends. I won't have any friends. Well, anybody who's ever entered into Jesus gave up many friends. I've gave up family, friends, everything. Mm-hmm. It's part of taking up your cross daily. He said to deny yourself, deny your life, and pick up your cross daily and follow him. Mm-hmm. He said, anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10, 38. He said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. I want to save my friends. I want to have Jesus with my friends. He said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his very own soul? Is it worth it? Because those unbelievers you want to hang around with, they can't save you. Can't do it. Jesus is the only one that can save. He says that he's a righteous Savior. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the confidence we had at first. As has just been said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who are they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And in whom God sware they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed or disbelieved, it also says. Disbelieved. They didn't believe. They didn't take his word seriously. They just left the church assembly. Moses was the preacher. They left and they did their own thing and find out what happened to them. They died in the desert. But God says it's going to be a lot worse for those who trample the Son of God underfoot, whose treat is an unholy thing, the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who's insulted the Spirit of grace. He said, for you know him who has set it his mind to avenge our rapine. Again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He said, if we deliberately keep on sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment, of raging fire that would consume the God. And the thing that amazes me, I preach this over and over and over and over and over, and some of the people that hear it, they just keep on. They're just, conscience is seared. They've hardened their hearts. They've heard it too many times, and they refuse to obey. They've hardened their hearts. They just refuse, and they think that they're going to get away with it after God warns them by His Holy Spirit, like, over and over. He says, so we see they were not able to enter in because of their unbelief. Chapter 4, verse 1, he says, since the promise of entering his rest, that's eternal salvation, still stands. He says, let us be careful. I wouldn't say careful. That none of you be found to have fallen short of it. So that means you could fall short of that salvation. He tells you to be careful that you don't fall, that none of you fall short of entering into that rest. How? Not believing God's word, not taking it seriously, not acting upon his word. Verse 6, he says, it still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly did not, those that formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience or their unbelief. Verse 11, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Every effort. That means when you go home, you're in your Bible, you're fasting and praying, you're running this race. He said, to run is one who wants to get the prize, he said. We are every fiber of our being. Jesus, and they said, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said, strive, agonize. With every fiber of your being, agonize to enter in through the straight gate, he said, because many will try to enter and will not be able to. He says, when the owner of the house will get up, he's going to close the door. It's going to close. Rapture is going to happen. He said, they'll stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, sir, open the door for us. He said, I don't know you or where you come from. I don't know you. Let's see. We ate and drank with you. We had communion with you. You went to church. You taught in our streets. He says, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from you, you workers of iniquity. In other words, they wanted Jesus. They hung around the word. They went to church, but they never let go of the sin. Stubborn, they hardened their hearts. They heard it over and over. The preacher pleaded with them with every fiber of his heart. God, working through a man or a woman, pleaded with them. Said, please stop your sinning. And they said, yeah, pastor. And they go out and they do it over and over. They hang around at these people. Boom, the door is shut. Destruction's going to come on this planet. Destruction. Ungodly destruction. Unheard of destruction. It's going to be worse than it was in Noah's flood. Killed everybody. That's what Jesus said. It's going to be the worst destruction that anybody can even imagine. Unimaginable destructions coming on this planet. Any second it's going to happen. You leave this place today, your blood's on your own heads. I have warned by the Holy Ghost. I've preached it with anointing. I've preached it with thunder and lightning. I've preached it with the Word of God. It's up to you to go to heaven. It's up to you to make the rapture. It's up to you. It's not up to me. Amen? It's your choice. He said, I set before you this day life or death. Therefore, choose life. It's a choice. I can't stop sinning. That's a lie. If you're born again, you've already been set free from sin. Who are you going to listen to? God's word? Or are you going to listen to that little devil that wants to take you to hell with it? Because that devil will tell you over and over, I just can't stop doing this. He's saying that to you. It's not your thoughts. It's the devil. I can't stop doing this. I can't stop doing this. I can't stop doing this. He's right on your shoulder. You're not going to stop. He's going to take you to hell with him if you listen to him. Say, no, today's the day. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to go to church every time the doors are open because I want to stay close to the family of God. Amen. And I'm going to bring a whole bunch of people to heaven with me. Amen. He says this in verse 11, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Every effort, every effort, every effort. What did he say? Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. How do you harden your hearts? By deceitfulness of sin. Why? Because you hear the word and you don't do what it says. James 1:22, you harden your heart and you do not enter into the rest. And what happens when you don't enter into the rest? You don't go to heaven. You miss the rapture first. And Jesus said, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. It's going to be a whole lot harder. A whole lot harder. A lot of people are waiting to see something. They're looking for something. The president over here, or somebody to rise up and be the Antichrist, when the Bible says he comes out of Syria. Go look over the Middle East, what's happened over there. Well, I just need more signs. Give us a sign. He said a wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign. But no sign will be given it. He's given enough signs in the earth to cause people to repent. He's looking for people who obey him when times are good. Amen. But unfortunately, people's hearts are so hard that the majority just refuse to repent. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and active. He tells you how to enter in now. I've been telling you about the Word the whole time here. It's the Word. It's the Word that's either going to convict you and cause you to grow and you're going to act upon what it says, or the other thing's going to happen, which is going to cut you, because it's like a double-edged sword. It's either going to cut and convict and cause you to repent, or you're going to refuse to repent and it's going to cut and it's going to callous you. To the point where you hear it over and over and over. You just walk out the door. I'm going to hang around all these prostitutes and I'm going to drink alcohol. I'm going to smoke and drink. I'm going to do whatever I want because it's not that big a deal when God says it is. I'm not going to come to church and do what I want. Stubborn and rebellious. We don't have to be that way. Don't be that way. Now he says here in verse 12, the Word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates the dividing soul and spirit. Joints and marrow, that represents the flesh. So we got soul, spirit, and flesh. It judges the thoughts. Everyone say thoughts. Most people don't even keep their actions pure, let alone even consider their thoughts. He said, look at someone lustfully as adultery in the heart. He doesn't really mean it. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. He does mean it. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. That's judgment. Then he tells you there's hope. Verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who's gone through the heavens, or gone into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Hold firmly, like he's been exhorting us to do. He said, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are. So God knows you get tempted. Yet he was without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with confidence. That means, instead of sinning, you've got a high priest, he's at the throne, he's at the right hand of the Father. He's telling us to run to the throne with confidence and cry out to God for help. He says here, let us therefore approach the throne of grace of confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Then he goes on in verse 7 of chapter 5, he describes Jesus doing this very thing, which is we're supposed to follow his example. He says here, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. When he was tempted, he's talking about. Most Christians, they don't even consider praying to God. They instead flirt around with the idea of gratifying the lusts of the flesh, pleasure for a moment. And they sell their birthrights for a bowl of soup. They'd rather just sin against God than even practice a religion enough, or be close enough to God enough to know that they should pray at that time. He says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. That means sin. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. He says, a soul that sins shall die. Ezekiel 18:20. He says it a few times in Ezekiel 18. He says the soul that sins shall die. To the one, he offered up prayers and petitions to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. That means his whole heart was in it, and he feared the Lord. Reverence. He feared God's word. He knew that there would be consequences if he sinned. He was serious about it. He took God's word seriously. That was Jesus. He could have sinned just like Adam sinned. He was a second man, Adam. He could have sinned just like him if he wanted to, but he instead cried out to God and asked for help. He came boldly under that throne and asked him for help. He says here, verse 8, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Or in other words, you could say it like this, he was obedient even though he was suffering with temptation. He stayed obedient to God, and the end result is this. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them who what? Obey him. He's not the author of eternal salvation to anyone. He says that God accepts anyone who fears him and does what is right. Acts chapter 10. Fear him and do what is right. Here he says he's the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. We bind every hindrance and every religious spirit in Jesus' name. Now, if this message scares you, that's good. It put the fear of God in you. But more important than anything, my prayer for you is that you take it seriously and take it to heart. I'm not with you. I'm not with you when you're not here. So I don't know what you do unless God shows me. And at times he does show me certain things. I'm not all-knowing. I'm not God. I only know what God shows me. But I can tell you this, that we need to obey God. Amen. And we need to take this type of message seriously because it's the Word of God. And if we believe that God is real, if we believe that God is who He says He is and He's the judge of the living and the dead, then we need to do what is right. I want you to search your hearts and ask yourself if you're really in the faith. If Jesus is really your all in all. The Bible says to test yourselves to see if you're really truly in the faith. We're to judge ourselves so that we don't become judged. Jesus is a judge of the living and the dead. He took your judgment for you. You don't have to go to hell. Don't have to go there. He took your judgment. All he asks is that you fully obey him for the rest of your life. It's not a hard thing to ask since he said we spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. Living in debauchery, lusts, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. We don't have to live that way anymore. He set us free from sin. There's no reason to continue it in anymore. The main reason Christians continue to sin is because they think they're getting away with it. They're deceived. They've hardened their hearts. Even though he at one point set them free from Egypt, which is a type of sin. Even though Moses led them out, Jesus led you out of Egypt, the type of sin. It's a choice, and the choice has to be made. Time's running short. Now when we have spiritual weaknesses and we just can't seem to shake things, God has given a spiritual gift called the gift of tongues. He said, but you beloved, build up yourselves in your most holy faith. Holy faith. It's not just building you up in faith, it's building you up in the realm of holiness. Holiness is separation from the world. He said the Spirit helps us with our weaknesses. If we're weak, we just can't seem to overcome something, we should be praying in tongues. Much intercession is made for yourself. And then when you get strong enough, then you can start to intercede for others. God directs that prayer. Spend a lot of time praying in tongues. 5 minutes isn't going to do it. Hour every day, minimum. Just keep on pressing in. Well, you say, I don't have time. If you drive to and from work and so on and so forth, do it in the shower. By the time you know it, you got an hour of prayer in. Easy. Easy. I know people that don't preach to pray 8 hours or more a day in tongues. Some even more than that. And the Word of God, He said it's the Word of God. That's our spiritual food. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said, like newborn babes, crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word, so by it you may grow up in your salvation. You may say, I don't understand the Bible. I keep listening. It doesn't make any sense to me. Just listen to it anyways. It bypasses your mind. It's supernatural. It goes into your spirit. Just keep hearing it. It's what's going to keep you strong. David said, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's His word that gives us strength. Fasting, if you're struggling with one of the works of the flesh, He says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, that's sex outside of marriage, any kind of sexual contact outside of marriage. He says, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's gossip that's talking about other people all the time. With the means to destroy or lie or say things that really aren't true because you hate that person. A spiteful talk. We got to get rid of all that stuff. He says, don't be deceived. He said, they're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, that's what you were. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. If you're involved in any of that mess, he said that acts of the flesh, acts of the sinful nature, the flesh, are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. He said, I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says, in another place, says, let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. He talks about coarse joking and foolish talk. Right before that, God expects us to be pure. He says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and their consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions, what they do, they deny Him. They're detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Titus 1, 15 through 16. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. He says, and put to death therefore whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. He said, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves. It's our responsibility. Rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language that's swearing from your lips. He says, do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there's no Jew or Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised, male or female, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all and is in all. I just want you to ask yourself, I'm not going to ask you personally. Some of you may go to churches and other places. How do I know? But if you haven't been a regular attender of a church, churches are open 3 days a week. In fact, there's probably some churches that are out there every day of the week. There's always a way to get to church if you put Him first and make Him a priority. If you're not serious about your relationship or you haven't been, now's a good time to get serious about it, because the Holy Spirit's speaking to you today. This message is for the people here. You say, well, I'm 100% obedient. I'm perfect, Pastor Dan. If you're really pressing into God and you're really living for Him, He says this. He says, a man that knows something doesn't yet know as he ought to know, but the man who loves God is known by God. If this message is for you to relate to another person one way or another, God's speaking to you today. I just ask everyone to search your hearts right now and pray this prayer with me. Let's just bow, everybody bow your heads and close your eyes and just search your heart and say, God, is there anything that I need to change? Father, I just pray you'd speak to them now and help them to see past the veil of the flesh. Father, in the name of Jesus, we exalt you and praise you. Thank you for working on every heart here, Holy Spirit, that they can see the truth and judge themselves so they don't have to be judged. I want everybody to pray this prayer, please, with me. Say, God, I forgive everyone who's ever hurt me. And I ask you now to please forgive me for all complacency, for all indifference, and for everything in your word that I have disobeyed. Forgive me for all of my sins. I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I turn from sin this day, once and forever, to follow Him. Help me to love you, Lord, by obeying your commands and loving you with all my heart and all my soul and all of my mind and all of my strength. From this day forward, I commit and surrender my life into your hands. I am yours. Not my will, but your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you meant that prayer, whether you were backslidden or whether you were already living for the Lord and making a recommitment, like a renewing your marriage vows, God heard that prayer. He says when we judge ourselves and confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now it's our responsibility to go forth and to be doers of what He said. Amen. Encourage you all, if there's anything you get out of this message, we know that God takes His word very seriously, and if we don't obey Him, we harden our hearts. I encourage you to read your Bibles every day. Spend some time in fasting and prayer. You don't got to go on a 40-day fast. You can fast one meal a day or something like that, or a few meals a week, a day out of the week. Do something. And I also encourage you to spend time praying in tongues. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just worship and praise you. Ropa kia sikia moto makaria maka. Ropa kia dramaka siti kilotuma. He said this, I'm greatly pleased when hearts are pure and blameless before me. And then he said these words. Ropa kia siti kilotuma. He said, but you must continue to walk blameless before me. Not just when we assemble together, but at all times, stay on my path. For it is my path that will lead you to life. The common path, the easy path that everyone takes leads to destruction. But I have paved the way before you to walk on.